the company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. So I do have some info here. We will be giving away Game 4, that's Sunday, Game 4 tickets later today on the program. And I'm going to tell you how you can win those when it is time for you to win those. Do not call now, but I will tell you when, give you the code word now, and then when I tell you to call Ian with the code word, then you've got a shot. But first, let me tell you that this Sunday, before the game, join the Preds playoff excitement with 102.5 The Game at Hank's Bar. Guess Hank Williams Jr. has a bar? We'll be there. Your ultimate pre- and post-game destination located downtown right here, 419 Broadway. You'll have Chase and Adam Vingan from 11 to 1 and a special edition of Stillman & Company at 1 o'clock. So we'll be on from 1 to 3 ahead of the pregame show for game number 4. So cheer on the Preds and the big screens. Enjoy the cocktails, mouthwatering dishes, unbelievable vibes just minutes away from the arena at Hank's Bar this Sunday. Again, special edition of Stillman & Company at 1 o'clock. And since we'll be at Hank's Bar, Ian, I think that Hank will be our code word that we will give in when it is time. Plus, starting to like the name Hank just a little bit. So I'm all for that.
I wonder why.
Just starting to cheer up to the name Hank. So the code word is Hank for that. All right, to your phone, 615-737-1025. I do want to read this one text message first. Somebody texted in and said, NFL Combine prospects had J.C. Latham rated at 6.71, higher than Alt and higher than Olufashinu. He was the highest rated offensive lineman, says this texter. I don't know how that's possible. J.C. Latham didn't do any testing at the Combine. And J.C. Latham didn't do any testing at his pro day. So how can he be scored higher than Alt or Olufashinu? Texter says, he will be 10 times better than Dillard. Wow, that's a high bar. Why would you waste a year teaching him right tackle when you want him to be a left tackle? Because I want him to have success. And the way for him to have success is for him to play the position that he knows the first year, learn how the league works, and then flip to left tackle. Said that Bill Callahan said they would move him back if he was a disaster, which I doubt he will be. This dude's a monster. I know. Everybody thinks he's going to be a Hall of Famer because your team picked him. All right, let's go back to your phones. Mark has been waiting patiently on J.C. Latham. Thank you for calling and thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Jared. Yeah, man, what world are we living in right now? I mean, seriously, what the hell? Like, I hate to take one play and make it a player's personality, but seriously, do you remember J.C. Latham's last play as an Alabama?
Was that the Milroe draw?
Yeah. Fourth and goal, ball on the 4, and Michigan's backup DN, not even the starter, put him 5 yards in the backfield, threw him onto Joe Milton and effectively ended their season on the biggest play of his entire college career. And this is the cat that we expect to hold it down on the left side? I mean, what world are we in? Did we seriously just pass on Adunze, Bowers? I mean, where's our common sense GMing at? I mean, at least we have the Falcons doing what they did, so the Titans won't get as publicly scrutinized, but I think it was just as bad.
Dude, no one gives a rat's ass about the Titans pick. Thank you. No one cares about the Titans outside of Nashville, and nobody cares about offensive linemen, especially when a team that is as nondescript as the Titans takes an offensive lineman. I'm not going to throw Latham under the bus for that one play. I will say this. I laughed my tush off this morning. The Titans posted on Instagram, like, all these the highlights of J.C. Latham. Like, this is the guy that we took. And on the first cut that they put on Instagram was a blatant hold where he's just grabbing the side of the jersey. And I'm like, oh, great. And then yesterday the coach was like, yeah, I don't care about the penalties, which we'll see when it's 2nd and 18 if you feel the same way. Let's go to Dre, who's up next here on the program, has been waiting patiently. What's up, Dre?
Yeah, Jared, I just called to check your temperature, man. See,
if you had kind of settled down a little bit. Why do you hate every single thing the Titans do so much?
Because I mean, everything they do is so stupid.
What is stupid about picking arguably the best tackle in the league? What's messed up about that?
He arguably by who? Nobody was arguing this yesterday before they picked him.
I mean, because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I was programmed to think alt. Listening to the pundits, listening to everybody, I was just alt. I had alt fever. Secondly, when he got snatched up by the Chargers, I really wanted to go nuclear at that point and just trade and get as many picks as we could and just fire, you know, just guns a-blazing throughout the draft. We didn't do that. But researching this kid says that this kid is the best.
See, Trey, what you're saying is exactly what you're saying is exactly what I know is going to happen. And I know that people are going to get mad at me. Thank you, Trey. I know people are going to get mad at me because you hated the pick. And then you're like, you know, I did some research and I read some things here that make me think this is the great pick that we need. It's just like the Kentucky basketball fans that went nuclear when they hired Mark Pope out of BYU with zero NCAA tournament wins to replace John Calipari. And then all of a sudden, you know, we read some articles about Mark Pope and we think that he might be the great coach for UK. Go Cats, baby! Like, that's what you're doing. That's what fans do. It's like I was listening to Boston Radio the other day. They were talking about if they draft J.J. McCarthy at 3. They said if they draft J.J. McCarthy at 3, and then Tom Brady does a video saying, I love this pick, I love J.J., will the Patriot fans be all in? And the radio hosts were like, yes. Yes, they will be. That's what I'm talking about. It's like you can't think the guy was the 14th best player in this draft yesterday. Then your team picks him at 7 and say, you know, it was a good pick. No, that's the problem. And I'm not changing. Like, this is how I felt when they picked him, and this is how I feel about it now. And it's not changing because I want it to change. Let's go to DeJuan, who's up next here on J.C. Latham. Thank you for calling. What's up, DeJuan?
What's up, man? I mean, most of your fans and your viewers don't understand or know football. Like the Dre, I love that take, the guy that just called in. But the bozo that said that, oh, Joel should ask for a trade. Really? To block for Justin Herbert, a future Hall of Famer, in the biggest market? He was surprised because the Chargers don't have a receiver to throw to, and he got picked and like, wow, y'all don't have a receiver. Okay, I'll go to the biggest market in America. And of course,
DeJuan, I'm telling you that Joel wanted to be here.
I get
not that
you,
it matters, not that he gets to pick where he goes. Wise. But this is brand, like this is where he wanted to be.
I'm talking about for brand purposes.
Joel didn't care about that. You heard the Joe Alt interview. DeJuan, he don't care about that.
Yeah, because he probably never thought in a million years that the Chargers would take a tackle when they don't have a receiver. That's football 101. And they got a left tackle pro bowler whom I got that information from you. So you're probably surprised they took tackle just as he was.
I was surprised.
But my next point is.
But I think I was more disappointed than he was.
My next point is. Hey, I don't want the Titans to ever draft a tackle or a guard or a center. It's the boring pick, right? Right? But Joel's off the board. So we don't know if there was any trade partners. I mean, all these fans just thinking, oh, we should have traded back. Traded back with who? Two tackles went off the board. The only argument you can make is the tight end, but it still doesn't solve our blocking problem. Yeah, that's the only argument you can say is the tight end.
So well, I think like, the argument for me, DeJuan. DeJuan, thank you for your call.
Last point,
I think
last
the argument. No, you made two. I think that the argument for me is, was he the best player on the board? You're picking at 7 in a draft with elite players. Was he the best player on the board? Bill Belichick's board had Roma Dunze 6th, had Brock Bowers 7th. Was Bill's board that much different than your board? And look, Bill sucks at drafting, so I'm not going to sit here and say, well, Belichick, he's so smart. But should your board be that different? Dave's up next. Quickly, thank you for calling. Go ahead, Dave.
Jared, I feel 100% the same way you did. I think I was more disappointed than you were You do not pass on elite players. I was hoping for Bowers, Vishnu, Adunze, one of those. You have to pick one of those to have an elite player. Just look at your teams, Kansas City. You got to have an elite player. These picks, I tell you, I feel the same way you do. I totally agree. Thank you.
Yep, thank you, Dave. Well, I'm glad at least somebody does. I do feel like I've been – I mean, like, here's what sucks, right? Like, J.C. Latham just got drafted, and I hope it works out. I hope he's Trent Williams. But I'm just so down about it. Like, I'm just so down, and there's no way for me, without lying to you, to tell you any different. But Corey Curtis will join us from News 2 next. We'll see what he thinks. We'll see if he likes the pick. My gut tells me he does, but we'll see. I don't know. We'll do that next. Let's talk about the Tennessee Men's Clinic. That's right. Fellas, you've put this off for way too long. It is time to get it done and move forward with your sex life. And the Tennessee Men's Clinic is the leader in bedroom confidence. See, the reality is that pills often quit working and guys start making excuses for why they're not coming to bed. Did you know that studies show that men will be more irritable and argumentative before bed just to avoid failing at intimacy? And yes, I know guys hate going to the doctor, but the Tennessee Men's Clinic was created in 2014 to take care of guys just like you. That's right. For a decade, the urologists and providers at the Tennessee Men's Clinic have helped guys with ED and weight loss, and they now even offer aesthetic enhancements and cosmetic procedures. Their ED and weight loss treatments truly change lives, and with no surgery, they are seeing success rates as high as 90%. They specialize in seeing guys who think they're out of luck regain hope that they can be successful in the bedroom and beyond. They even offer same or next day appointments. So it's time to start feeling amazing to hit your goals. Go to the Tennessee Men's Clinic. Call 615-208-9090. That's 615-208-9090. Or go online to TennesseeMen'sClinic.com to book an appointment today. That's TennesseeMen'sClinic.com.
There you go. Here's Goodell. Here's Goodell.
In the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select J.C. Latham.
Oh, no! 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 Oh, no! God!
You know what? The
no.
The liquid in Jared's glass.
Man.
Hey, do you believe in
him?
Hey, Jared, do you believe? Do you believe in Bill Callahan? Do you believe in Bill Callahan?
1,000.
Do you or do you not? But this is a question. This is a serious question. Do you believe in Bill Callahan? Jared?
That was the draft show last night. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis, your reaction to the Titans pick last night?
I thought once the other two were off the board, it was very, very predictable. And I'm surprised, not that you were upset about it, but that you were that surprised about it.
The other two?
When you saw Neighbors and Ault go off the board.
Oh, okay.
Once those two guys went off the board, I'm like, well, they're picking Latham. I mean, that was just a matter of fact to me. I think we talked last week, and, you know, I said I don't want to right tackle at number 7. Apparently he's going to be a left tackle. And in 2 years, we're going to know if they were smart or if they were dumb.
How much do you believe in the Titans? I.e., how much benefit of the doubt do you give the Titans when they say, well, we had him ranked higher than Vishnu, or we think that he can play left tackle, or we know that he is an elite prospect over a Bowers or an Adunze?
Mm-hmm. Listen, I think it goes the same for every team in that, you have a scouting staff and you have a scouting department with heads, and you have to trust them. And I'm saying you as an organization, not me and you. You have to trust them to do their jobs and to be good at their jobs. And if they're not good at their jobs, they will be fired.
That's not true.
No, John Robinson got fired. I mean, he had horrible.
This is his scouting staff.
Well, yes, I'm saying the man ultimately making the pick loses his job.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. It's up to the next one who he wants on his scouting staff. He can fire everybody if he wants. So that's what it comes down to me, that each one of these teams has a staff, and you know, I guess as a fan, you have to hope that they know what they're doing, and they put a lot of time into this. And they seemed resolute that they knew that they knew this outcome could very well be the case, and they were happy with it when it, you know, they said before the draft that, you know, they had a good feeling for how things were going to go, and they said that there was no trade basically that was going to get them off this pick with him. So he's a guy that they thought enough of that they didn't want to lose, and now they're going to get a chance to prove themselves right or wrong. And so, I mean, I don't pretend to be smarter than them, okay? I mean, there are times I'd like to, but we'll wait and we'll see. I mean, you know me. You know, I thought Clowney and Brady were taking the Titans to the Super Bowl. I mean, we all have good takes and we all have bad takes, and this is the take of record for NFL GMs.
So it sounds to me like you do give them a lot of benefit of the doubt.
I give every team, virtually every team, a lot of the benefit of the doubt of the draft.
Oh, they put in Corey!
Because they have put in way more time than I have on these players.
You and, give the again, Jets the benefit of the doubt to make right decisions?
I said a lot of teams. There are teams that do not deserve the benefit of the doubt whatsoever, okay? Yes, there are teams that do not deserve it. Like, the Bears generally drafting a quarterback do not deserve the benefit of the doubt, okay?
So what do you think of Latham?
What do I think of Latham? I think he's massive. I mean, I think he's huge. He's got, you know, great wingspan, big hands, you know, ultra powerful. You know, was a very good football player on a very good team. He's played at the highest level, you know, each step of the way. So I think, you know, there's a lot of good traits. But, you know, I heard you earlier, and you're not wrong. You know, you don't pick in the top 10 every year. And so you want to wind up with an elite player. And, you know, the question is did you take a good player at 7 who's going to make you better and pass up on an elite player who could go to the Pro Bowl every year?
And
we'll find out.
Oh, because, you got to give me the I think they did or I think they didn't.
Okay. Well, look, I know everybody loves Brock Bowers because he played in the SEC and his numbers were crazy.
J.C. Latham played in the SEC.
Well, look, okay, but this is what I'm going at. What's the track record for Alabama offensive linemen in the NFL?
Terrible.
It's terrible, yeah. Which tells you that Saban did an awesome job with those guys there and maxed them out at Alabama. Now, I think physically this guy's a little bit different, so we'll see. What do we also know about top 10 tight ends in the draft?
Yeah, but when you listen to, like, the Bill Polians,
okay, I understand, but
those
now,
guys
now
say he's not a tight end. They say he's like a special receiver, like matchup nightmare, not one of those kind of players.
Well, you know, we're going to find out. I like him, and that's what I'm saying. You took a chance on passing on him. You know, TD, you know, said they weren't that high on Roma Dunze, so yeah. Apparently he was never really in the conversation. I think what we haven't talked about here is one of the first things Rand said last night is they had a lot of calls for that pick. They had a lot of calls. So, you know, did they have the opportunity to trade down and still get J.C. Latham? That's what I want to know.
What do you think about the idea of trying to flip him to left tackle and the fact that the Titans even said, well, if it doesn't work, we'll flip him back to right tackle last night?
Well, I mean, I liked that right out of the chute, Rand said he's going to play left tackle. I liked that he was definitive and he was resolute about it. And I don't think they should have backed off of that. I think that was a mistake to say, well, if he's not – I mean, it's reality if he's not comfortable. But at that point, you've just got to be completely in his back and have his back and say, we have no doubt he's going to succeed at left tackle. That's why we draft him number 7 overall. And when you say, well, we can always move him to right, which I said, which is true, that means you're just leaving room for him not to succeed. I don't think it's a big issue, you know, for him right or left. I don't think it's going to be. I know there are people who think it will be. He's played left tackle before. He's an athlete. I mean, at 6'5", 340 pounds. And if he can't, then you know what? Maybe he could play guard with Skoronski and then two times.
So that's the worst part about this is that, like, the draft gurus, and, like, I'm not going to say, okay, well, Dane Brugler knows more than the people that make millions of dollars to do this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue that. But, yeah. Like, every single one of them going into the draft was like, Latham's a massive right tackle who may fit better at guard. And I hear that G word at seven, and it scares the crap out of me.
But why do they say that? Because he's got superior length.
Well, I think they say it because, and it's the same reason why Saban's guys fail in the NFL. I think it's because he gets them too fat. I think Saban gets these boys so big in the SEC.
He's not fat, though. He's huge. He's not fat.
He's big. Like, he's not built like Taylor Lewan.
No. Taylor's an athlete.
Right. That's my point. That's the prototypical left tackle.
Yeah. But, I mean, yes, he's huge. And one guy I remember is Brad Hopkins. And I'm sure Brad could talk about this with you guys. He got up to, like, 330 pounds at the biggest point in his career. But as his career went on, he got leaner and leaner and leaner. And I doubt he was even 300 pounds when he finished. And it'll be interesting to see if Latham wants to carry that much weight at the next level. He looks to me like he carries it pretty easily. I mean, he doesn't look like Andre Smith and some of these other guys they had, were a little pudgy.
Another Saban guy, he got too fat. Chance Warmack was a Saban guy, he got too fat.
Yeah, and Chance Warmack, I remember he was on the coach's show, and I was afraid he was going to break the director's chair because he's so big.
So when I first started here, I obviously wasn't doing afternoons, but Floyd was, and they were out at Titans training camp, and Warmack went on the show, and it was before they went on, and before they put the headset on, Floyd looks at him and goes, "How much you weigh?" And I think he was like, I'm like 340 or something like that at that point. So I was like, okay, and put the headset on. And I just kind of laughed like, again, those things matter to those kind of guys. And at least it's not Aaron Brewer. What is your expectation for tonight?
I expect defense. I expect either a linebacker or a defensive, tackle or edge. That's what I would expect. But there are some talented receivers still on the board. And, if there's a, Troy Franklin's a burner, the kid, Donnie Mitchell from Texas is still on the board, right?
Yep, he's a baddie, too. He's a bad boy.
Yeah, and if they're there, that might be too much for them to pass up on. And so we will see. I know there's a lot of people who like Junior Colson. I like Junior Colson. I just think 38 is awful high for a middle linebacker. Like I said, I think you can find one in the fourth. So we'll wait and see on that. But I expect it to be defense unless just a too good-looking of a wide receiver is out there.
Fireball Hot Take Friday, what's your hot take this week?
I don't have one. I don't.
Hey, at least you're honest.
Yes. No, I didn't even think about it. I mean, because all I was thinking about was, how much of a heart attack is Jared going to have during this segment? How much am I going to have to talk him off the ledge?
I really thought there was a chance I was going to be happy last night with the pick.
Well, we'll use my hot take time to ask this. What did you want them to do at seven after all the neighbors went off the board?
Bowers.
You wanted Bowers? Okay.
I had a former NFL head coach text me when the Titans were on the clock, and it was just in all caps, "Take the tight end from Georgia. He's going to the Hall of Fame."
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people who share that, and I get it. I get it. I mean, he put up numbers, and that's one of the things I like about him more than the other top 10 tight ends that have come out. Is he's got more proof of performance. Most college tight ends just don't get that many targets, and he led his team in receiving every year. And like you said, you could move him all over the field. So it's going to be fun. The Raiders got him right.
Yep.
If the Raiders ever get a quarterback, we'll see if they can do something with him.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, on our program on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, great stuff. Appreciate you, as always.
I appreciate it, man. Talk to you later.
Yep, more of your phones at 615-737-1025 to come. Again, that's 615-737-1025. And Corey did bring up the whole Nick Saban thing. I do have a thought, because the numbers are not pretty for Nick Saban's first-round Alabama offensive lineman. And I do think the sample is large enough to make it more than just a simple helmet scout. So we'll get to that and your phones. Fireball whiskey goes down so smooth and it tastes so great, there's no better way to ignite the night than to do it with ice-cold Fireball cinnamon whiskey. That's right. If you were like me last night and you needed to drown your sorrows, Fireball whiskey may have been the go-to. Maybe I should have at Twin Peaks last night. But today is a new day. More players will be taking playoff hockey to celebrate. That's Fireball Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly. And be 21 years or older to enjoy Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
We got a comfort level with the player and the athlete and what he's capable of. And so having him go to left and start out there, and look, if he doesn't feel comfortable there, it doesn't look right and look natural, move him back to right. And like I said the other day, you need tackles, period. So it doesn't really affect us one way or the other which tackle he plays. So he's just a really strong, powerful, big, athletic human. There's not a lot of guys that look like him on earth. So we like that.
You know, if he fails, then we'll just move him over to the other position. I mean, there's no issue there. No, that would mean that he's a bust. And the fact that we're already making plans for that is not a good sign. Now, speaking of busts, I am not somebody who does what's called helmet scouting. For instance, I don't think Drake May has anything to do with Sam Howell. I don't think Caleb Williams has anything to do with Carson Palmer or Matt Leinart. But I do think that there is a large enough sample size to say, okay, why are Nick Saban's first-round offensive linemen out of Alabama so terrible in the NFL? And I went through the numbers this morning. There are 9, because J.C. Latham would be 10, 9 offensive linemen drafted by NFL teams in the first round out of Alabama since Nick Saban became the coach. Andre Smith in 2009, James Carpenter in 2011, Chance Warmack in 2013, DJ Fluker, Ryan Kelly, Jonah Williams, Jedrick Wills, Alex Leatherwood, Evan Neal, and J.C. Latham. And of this group, and we'll take Latham out of this now, so there's 9, Latham is 10. Out of this group, what's wild to me is one of them, Ryan Kelly, the center in Indianapolis, has made a Pro Bowl. One person has made a Pro Bowl. And that is absolutely wild to me. So I'm thinking, okay, why is that the case? How many of these guys are busts? Chance Warmack was clearly a bust. Alex Leatherwood, clearly a bust. It looks like Evan Neal is going to be moved from tackle to guard. He was the seventh pick 2 years ago. It looks like he's going to be a bust. And again, Jonah Williams is still in his NFL career. He hasn't made a Pro Bowl. They moved him to right tackle. Cincinnati didn't re-sign him. Only 2 of these guys, Andre Smith and Ryan Kelly, have signed extensions. And again, the jury's out on Jedrick Wills. It looks like Wills is going to make it. So here's my theory when it comes to Saban. I think he gets these linemen too fat. And I was talking to Corey Curtis about this, and Corey was like, well, Latham's not fat, and he's like 350 pounds. I think what Saban does, and this works in college football, is I think Saban just goes out and gets the biggest boys and sticks them on the line and says, push, which is fine. Because in college football, even in the SEC, how many just stud athlete, you know, Javon Curse type players are you going to play? And the answer for me is not many. You might play one. Like, in any given year, LSU might have 1 or 2. In the NFL, everybody is that way. So in the SEC, Saban, and I think Kirby Smart's doing something similar at Georgia, Saban just gets the biggest and fattest and just push them and just go. In the NFL, you have to move your feet. And that's why these guys fail. And so I'm concerned about that with Latham. And I'm concerned about that when they say he may have to move into guard because he's so big. And then not only is he not going to move into guard here, they're going to try to flip him to another position. And that, again, I'm like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Because, again, at this point, I think the sample size is big enough. And of these tackles, I mean, these guys have been awful for the most part. And Chance Warmack, I mean, he was a guard, and you took him at 10, and we know how that worked out. But I'm not going to blame, you know, J.C. Latham for Chance Warmack. I just think that there is a common theme of why the Saban offensive linemen in the first round have stunk so bad in the NFL. Let's go to your phones on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025. Ben is up next here on our program. Thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, man, I was wanting to know, do you think Joe Milton will get drafted in the second round? Do you think he'll fall down to, like, the fourth round and get picked up by just as, like, a fourth string or practice squad quarterback?
I hate to say this to you, Ben. I couldn't give a rat's ass about Joe Milton, and I don't think he'll get drafted until Saturday.
That's what I was thinking was Saturday. Well, and what about the I can't remember his name, but that running back out of Michigan, he did pretty damn well in the title game and in playoffs.
Forum. Yeah, I don't care about him either. Thank you for your call, Ben. Let's go to Chris, Titans in Truth, who's up next here on the program. Chris, the floor is yours, my friend.
Jared, first of all, I got to tell you, I called in with Kellan Willie, a D-mate. My friend, I stuck up for you.
I heard it. I appreciate it.
I said, shame on D-mates and Chris Sanders for laughing at your pain, because you know what? I felt that exact same pain twice with all going off the board and then J.C. Latham. And I'm just thinking in my mind, I hated this pick too. And the reason why is because, again, he's a role grader. Good run blocker, struggles with pass blocking. And if I remember correctly, aren't they trying to pass the ball more? You need a guy that can pass block better than one block. I can work with that. And so I don't like the pick. I'm not saying I don't like the player. I just don't like him being picked at seven. And at this point, he better, you know, they're trusting Bill Callahan. He better be an all-pro year one. He better be at least a pro bowler. And like you said, with Alabama offensive linemen, it ain't working out. It hasn't worked out too well. And I think Rand and Brian Callahan, let Bill Callahan make the pick, and they're trying to convince. I think they were trying to convince themselves, oh, this is a good pick. You know, we're going to play him at left. Don't double back and say, well, we'll put him at right if it doesn't work. You say stay at left, and you stay with it.
So now, I can't believe they said that, by the way, last night. I can't believe they said, you know, if it doesn't work, we'll move him back to right. What? If it doesn't work, you guys need to go get other jobs if it doesn't work.
Going left to right is not an easy transition. If they work for some, it doesn't work for everybody.
Now, Chris, I hear you. I appreciate your call. I mean, I can't believe that they said it. You know, it's like it's one thing to think it. Like the Giants are probably going to move Evan Neal to guard. But it's not like when they drafted him, they were like, yeah, and if this guy sucks, we're going to move him to guard just in hopes that he can play in the NFL. More of your phones at 615-737-1025. Speaking of fathers, my dad thinks I'm too hard on the Titans. He thinks I'm too hard on them. But then there was something that I heard today. Of all the things that could depress me about the Titans, this is the one that freaking hurts. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday here on 102.5, 106.3. The game, let me tell all the fine folks out there that tomorrow, tune in as the Nashville Cats take on the Minnesota Myth at Municipal Auditorium. Pre-game at 7 o'clock, kickoff at 7:30. Coverage available on 102.5 The Game's apps. And Cats football on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. And I do hear that there will be a special appearance by Blanco Brown to kick off the revitalization, the rebirth of the Cats. So be excited about that. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
He's going to be going against some athletic edge rushers.
He plays
but
a lot.
But physically, can he do it?
Oh, God!
What happened? What?
Rand Carthon said, if J.C. Latham doesn't pan out at left tackle, we have guys on our roster we're comfortable with at left tackle.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, God!
Unless it's Peter Skoronski.
Oh, God, I hate this freaking team. The best left tackle they have is their left guard. Their best right tackle is going to be their left tackle. They're all idiots. Oh, my God.
Jared? Jared?
Thank you. Thank you. That was last night on the draft show. Maybe that was a little over the top, Ian. That might have been
a little.
That might have been a little over the top. So this morning, my puppy last night spent the night with my parents. So I go over this morning to pick my puppy up, and I said to my dad, I go, you listened to the draft show last night? He goes, oh, I listened to it. And I said, you know, I really thought I wasn't going to have a meltdown. And then they picked, you know, J.C. Latham, and I had a meltdown. My dad goes, I laughed my ass off. Oh, my God. And then he said, but you are too hard on the Titans. He said, you're too hard on them. I said, too hard? You saw the draft last year. I went crazy last year, and everybody was like, oh, no, Jared, you don't get it. Vrabel, he knows. And then all of it. Remember when everybody told me that guard, center, guard was more important than tackle? Wait, what happened to that, Ian?
I don't know.
Guard, center, guard, that was more important than tackle last year. Now tackle, it's like, oh, we do, yeah, though, with this guy, he's more important than.
Well, they got a center.
Yeah. Well, what about the other
guard? One guard.
We don't even know if he's good. What about the other guard?
Is Brunskill back for sure?
I mean, he's on the team, but
so, you know, he's okay.
So, anywho, so I listened to that. I'm like, yeah, maybe I was a little too hard on the Titans last night. You know, the Titans, they listen to their dads to decide who to pick. So maybe I should listen to my dad and say, well, you know, I'm a little too hard on it, whatever. And then I was listening to Rick Spielman, the former GM of the Vikings, and they were doing their first round breakdown last night on CBS. And listen to the team that he thinks got it right. And kind of the thought process behind how they got it right. And this should depress you.
Left to the offensive line. I'm going to go through the offensive linemen that were drafted. And just tell me one or two that you really like to fit. Joe Alt to the Chargers. Where is he going to play? J.C. Latham to the Titans. Again, it feels like if you swap those two players with those teams, that makes a little more sense. Olu Fashanu to the Jets feels like a grand slam. Tully Fuaga went to the Saints. It makes sense there with Ryan Ramczyk. Amarius Mims, 18 to the Bengals. I'd heard some murmurs of that potentially happening. And Troy Faltanu, my guy, big Troy Polamalu fan growing up, to the Steelers. Any one of those stick out to you as potentially special?
Yeah, I love the Troy pick.
Oh, do you?
To the Steelers,
oh,
yeah. No, I thought Fashanu was a great selection for the Jets. Everybody thought they were going to push all in and maybe go Brock Bowers, but they solved their left tackle issue for years to come, in my opinion. I think Smith is just maybe a plug-in guy. He hasn't been healthy for 17 right. games over the last 3 or 4 years. They have to be able to keep Aaron Rodgers upright, and I think if something does happen with Tyron Smith, if he does get hurt, they got to plug and play left tackle right away.
Oh, my God. The Jets. They got it right. The Jets acquired a right tackle, Morgan Moses, by swapping spots in the fourth round with the Ravens. That's a shrewd move. The Jets signed Tyron Smith to a one-year incentive-laden deal. Remember, we said on the show the Friday that Tyron Smith signed, I said, fine, they'll do $7 million, and then he with incentives that can make him whole. I think he signed for $6.5 million with incentives that can get up to like 20. And then they drafted Fashanu. And so Fashanu has no pressure to play right away because Tyron Smith's going to start at left tackle and Morgan Moses is going to start at right tackle. And so they can work with Fashanu, and Fashanu will get to play in the preseason games because, again, he's not a starting tackle. And then in game 6, when Tyron Smith goes out for the year, they're going to put Fashanu in, and he's going to have all this practice and all this time sitting and everything. Oh, my God, the Jets! They got it right! The Jets! And here you are like, well, you know, we think he's going to play left tackle, but if he doesn't play left tackle, then we'll put him back at right tackle. Then what the hell are you going to do at left tackle? Oh, we've got Nicholas Petit-Frere. He can play left tackle. Jalen Duncan. Oh, God! Oh, the Jets! The Jets are getting it right, and you're screwing it up. And as a Titan fan, that hurts. That hurts. Oh, it hurts. So I told you. You hear things like that, and you're like, oh, my God. The freaking Jets? The freaking Jets have it figured out, and you don't. Let's go to Robert, who's up next here on our program, 615-737-1025. On a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Robert, go ahead.
Man, Jared, I'll tell you what, we are a lucky city of Nashville to have a radio talk show host like you that is smarter than the smartest and the best offensive line coach in the NFL. I mean, dude, you're just being totally misused and underused by being on this radio station. I mean,
hey, man, I was right about last year, wasn't I?
In charge of the whole thing. I mean, because you would know more than Bill Callahan.
Well,
I mean, who the hell is Bill Callahan?
Here's the problem with the Bill Callahan thing. Bill Callahan's not the GM. Bill Callahan's not the coach. So when Bill Callahan said, oh, I love this guy, that doesn't mean that he's better than Brock Bowers. And Bill Callahan's job is not to evaluate Brock Bowers or Rome Odunze or these other players that everybody had ahead of J.C. Latham?
It doesn't matter that we needed a left tackle then. So you say we
he's not a left tackle. He's a right tackle.
We just shouldn't have drafted a tackle at all. We should have drafted a tight end because, I mean, that'll keep Will Levis from getting killed. Because, I mean, dude, you were, like I said, man, you were so much smarter than any of these NFL coaches. I mean, hell, I don't understand how you're not. Amy Adams Strong, does she know who you are?
I mean, let me say this.
Call you. I mean, come
on. Amy absolutely knows who I am.
Bill Callahan likes him and you don't, I'm all for it. He must suck.
Here's the thing, Robert, and I appreciate your call. It's fun to do that. I was right last year. You guys said the same thing last year. I trust Mike Vrabel more than you. And who was right? Who was right about the freaking guard with the 11th pick? I was. I trust him more than you. They know more than you. Yeah, you say that. And then all of a sudden, week eight, you're like, man, Jared was right about a lot of this stuff. And again, if Bill Callahan's the smartest guy who ever lived in the history of football, which he's not, I mean, he was not a good head coach. I mean, like, again, if you guys want Bill Callahan to make every decision for the team, then promote him to head coach. But he was a bad head coach. He was bad with the Raiders, although he was good that first year, and he was bad at Nebraska, 14-17 in conference in his tenure. But if you want Bill Callahan to make every decision, then promote him to head coach. But you won't do that. And see, that's the thing. Like, somebody texted in and was like, I'll take Bill Callahan's board over Bill Belichick. Ha, ha, ha. Because, again, Belichick had Latham at either 13 or 14. I think it was 14. And he had Odunze at 6 and Bowers at 7. And it's like, well, Bill Belichick, what the hell's he know? He stunk it up. Bill Callahan is the line coach. He is not the GM. He is not the head coach. He is not a scout. He is not the director of college scouting. He is not the director of player personnel. He is not the president of football operations, which I don't even know what that guy does. He's not the analytics guy. He's not any of that. He's the line coach. And do I want the line coach's input on players when they select them? Yes. Am I going to make every decision for the football team based off of the line coach? No. No, you don't do that. That's why the GM makes more money. But this GM does not have original opinions. He just goes with the group. That's what happens. And then it's like, no, 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 this isn't about me. In fact, he said the other day, he was like, yeah, you know, I texted Anthony Robinson, and I said, you know, I like this guy, but everybody else doesn't like him, so I guess maybe I'm wrong. Great. 615-737-1025. And let me say this. The Titans do listen to this show. Now, I'm not sure they do what we say, but the Titans do listen to this show, and even they probably at times, they'll never admit it, but even they're probably like, man, Jared was right. 615-737-1025. Chad Withrow up next. We move him up ahead an hour because we got the Preds going on tonight with an early start time. Hal will be at the desk at 5 o'clock, and we still have those tickets to give away, which we'll do later today in the program. Let's talk about Twice Daily. I love Twice Daily, and I love White Bison. White Bison is the Twice Daily local coffee shop. It's just, I mean, if you've ever been in a White Bison, you're like, this place is fabulous. It really is. And they've got specialty coffee and so much more. So explore their selection of premium coffee blends, refreshing iced drinks and food, featuring fresh-made premium breakfast, lunch, and snack options. Download their app and join the White Bison Rewards program so you can place orders on the go anytime and get rewards and earn free coffee. Stop by White Bison and brighten your day with a sweet cinnamon beehive latte, an iced honey nut macchiato, or the vanilla rooibos tea latte. Find your perfect cup at White Bison, where it's finely crafted for you every day. White Bison and Twice Daily, fresh all day.